B-Pod Studios.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll be talking about the absolutely distressing prospect of a Fortnite movie and what that could actually look like. Also, which large, ginormous brand is running its own company esports league for Smash? And we'll also talk about Pokemon Arceus and how it's not quite the game they said it was. And lastly, we'll close the show out talking about a new Coca-Cola esports ad and how it is just completely missed the mark on what it actually should have been. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Checkpoint Daily, as always, your host Norris Howard here, joined to my left and my right by my two good friends, La Barba Obscura and Robert Landy. Also, I just want to go out on a limb and just say that Worlds is heating up from the prospect that, dude, it's going to be possible that Europe, EU, does not make it out of groups. That is a possibility. I don't think I've ever seen that.
NA still sucks, so that
yeah, we're still real bad.
Small consolation prize, I think, more than anything
else. Was
that
we're just not as... That we know that EU is equally bad. That feels good.
Drag them all down. Crabs in a bucket.
Yeah, man, that feels real good. As we are talking... right now, NA's Cloud 9 is going up against China's FunPlus Phoenix. They're up right now, one kill to zip, but it is very early goings. But earlier today, Damwon 1 extended its lead in Group A. Rogue is 1-1 as well. That's the same group as Cloud 9 and FPX. Edward Gaming moved to 2-0. T1 is 1-1, so the greatest of all time, Faker, is 500% or 0.500%, and 100 Thieves 0-1, and moving down to Group C, we ain't gotta talk about them. Royal Never Give Up and PSG Talon will probably end up out of that group, and Team Liquid, the only NA team with a win yesterday, they beat out Mad Lions, the European champions, and they are 1-0 alongside Gingy Esports. They will be playing later on this afternoon.
If you have to put money on somebody, who are you putting money on right now?
For the whole thing?
Whole thing.
Damwon.
Damwon's tough.
It's really hard to bet against Damwon. The best player in the world, Showmaker, mm-hmm. in that mid lane is going to be really hard to be better than him. Edward Gaming is also a team I'm looking at. Actually, that was my sort of crystal ball pick to win it all. Okay. If I had to just pick a dark horse, I would say Edward Gaming. I think Royal Never Give Up is strong, but I don't think they have sort of that X factor that'll push them over the edge. And none of the rest of the teams, I think everybody is sort of below those three, you know, Damwon, Edward Gaming, and Royal Never Give Up. So, that is our, league world update for the morning. With that said, you know, how's everybody doing? We're beer.
I lost a sudden death in Smash to my daughter last night. So my pride still not coming back yet.
How did that happen?
The prodigal daughter begins to rise.
Here's why, because I like just beating her mom up.
Who were you playing?
I always play as Link.
And who was she playing as?
She was playing as...
Must be like Crom or
no,
something.
No, it was Cloud, because her mom plays Cloud.
Nice.
And so it was like two sword fighters, and it sucked, and it was just like... Bad button timing. I'll get there. I promise. Like,
nah.
One day I'll be able to beat a 10-year-old.
Listen. I am a firm believer for some reason in Smash playing scuffed characters. So I am a perennial Bayonetta and Little Mac.
Yep.
So, and you can ask Robbie. I will give you these hands with Little Mac, okay? But also I acknowledge that I play a lot of fighting games.
Yeah, you definitely would destroy me.
So, but I am very sorry to hear that, and now I have something to make fun of you constantly that you literally cannot beat a grade schooler in Smash.
It's all right. She's good. Not really.
I was about to say, I'm not quite sure about that one. Robbie, what's up?
It's been a bad day. Yeah, you ever actually wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Like, you can feel it just throughout your entire morning?
Like, what, you got crick in your neck or something?
I got, like, a headache going on. I feel like every other person on the fucking road was an idiot that I wish would have just ran off into the ditch. I just feel negatively aligned to... Actually, you know what?
Mercury is in retrograde.
It's in retrograde now. It is. It's happening.
Yeah. Yep. See, you'd be thinking I'm talking bullshit, but nah. Who does say these massive celestial bodies don't have an impact on our lives? But anyway, yeah. With all that said, you're not here for astrology. You're here for video games. So here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
And again, I'm going to blame this on Mercury being in retrograde as well, but apparently Epic Games, not sure what to do with the ungodly amounts of money they have. It is now rumored that they are considering launching an entertainment division focused on scripted video game programming, and right at the top of that list is a Fortnite movie.
I hate everything about that.
My first thought was Ready Player One. That's
No. Perfect example. Man. Ready Player One, or even Free Guy. Like, you're gonna get a movie like that.
Good lord, not Free Guy.
Except it's gonna be so. Free Guy was actually pretty decent.
Okay, but it was already synthesized of like.
It was no, and I don't know that you can even do that twice. That's a flash in the pan.
I just
don't
understand. Like, okay, here's the thing that I want large studios to get, and also this is, you know whose fault this is? This is Gen X and the boomers' fault. This is who is the source of this tomfoolery, okay, of this hellish design.
Well, because
all right,
because it's worked in the past, right? Kotaku actually points out like this has already been done, right? Like you said, it's Ready Player One, but as Kotaku says, without the literary aspirations. It's Space Jam, finally free of the basketball obligations.
It's beyond even just Space Jam.
It's a 2-hour advertisement is what it will be.
Every so often there is a quote unquote kids movie or younger people's movie that, you know, just hits the consciousness. You know what I mean? We talk about all the damn Minion movies and shit. Yep. And all that other stuff. And that's fine.
This is literally going to photocopy money.
Yes, and that's the problem. It's because parents are going to see it. And they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Timmy, you want to go see the Fortnite movie? And I'm just like, oh my God. It doesn't have to have a plot. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't even have to be coherent.
They don't even have to spend money on advertising.
It's not going to run the risk that the World of Warcraft movie did, where all of the like main fans are old enough to realize that this is super shitty and what it should have been. The kids are all going to be young enough that it's going to literally be vomit on the screen, and they're going to love the hell out of it. And I think what upsets me the most about it is when you look at what Netflix is doing right now with anime and with their live action stuff and the money and the properties that Epic has, they should be able to completely dwarf what Netflix is doing and usher in like a truly great age of video game inspired or adjacent media. And instead we're going to get the fucking Fortnite movie.
It's going to be the movie equivalent of a pixie stick. Like, it's going to be so,
I mean,
the Lego movie, but not charming whatsoever.
So here's the thing for me. And listen, the Fortnite is big enough to where there was no way they weren't going to do ancillary content of some sort,
of course,
around this game. But the part that bothers me consistently about it is that Fortnite not only has no plot, it doesn't really lend itself to any sort of narrative structure. And that's the thing that I'm worried about, is how do you make a narrative out of a game that has no narrative? No Battle Royale has that. How do we make something out of this?
It's literally going to be whoever Jonesy is. I'm going to tell you how it's going to be an isekai anime, right? Look, I picked that up.
Oh, no.
You. Whoever Jonesy is,
it is going to be an isekai.
Gets pulled out of the real world or gets sucked into the video game.
And now he just has to win the Fortnite.
That's all he has to do is just win the Fortnite. He just has to win the Fortnite.
The single 20-day Fortnite.
Yep. It's all it's going to be, and he's going to, you know, meet friends along the way and make allies and be betrayed and fall in love with the girl, and then at the end when he's teleported back, or maybe he just stays in Fortnite, I don't know, but he'll have his new girlfriend go with him.
Yeah, it's going to be just like Pagemaster. He's going to be like, I bet you it's a kid, and the kid's going to be playing Fortnite.
But when he gets sucked into Fortnite, he becomes Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. He just magically becomes an adult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, this hurts.
This, it does, man. It's just, why can't we just get good shit?
Why, like, can't we have nice things?
Yes, like, okay, you know what? I liked Mortal Kombat for what it was. It didn't try to be anything highbrow because the game is not highbrow.
No.
So I'm okay with that. Fortnite doesn't even have brows. There is no brow. There is no measure of Fortnite, and I'm not just saying this because I'm an old millennial and I hate this game. I'm just saying it because there are plenty of games that I don't like that I think could be great narrative experiences. Halo is one of them. I think if you did anything cinematically with Halo, it could be great. But I don't like that game. So it's not really about my personal feelings about Fortnite. I just don't understand, besides the isekai. I mean, that even crossed my mind. And yeah. Robbie, I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, if you don't know what an isekai is, it basically means we take normal person, whisk them away from their normal world, and we put them into an unfamiliar world that is a parallel or separate dimension from our own.
Like Tron.
Yes. Like, that is literally, Tron is literally like the first, like, Western isekai. Because that means basically what? Other world, basically, in Japanese or something like that. Or other root or something like that. But anyway, this is a terrible idea that is going to make billions of dollars, and I hate it. It's just, you know, it is what it is. It's we're about to see the villain win. With that said, you know, speaking of major, giant, huge companies making crazy decisions, Weird Beer, you brought up this morning to us that McDonald's has actually been putting together a esports league for its employees. How's that going on?
Yeah, so McDonald's.
Nintendo obviously hasn't heard about it yet.
Yeah, McDonald's already has a kind of deal going with Gen G. Like, McDonald's has been very active in the esports community over the past, like, 2, 3, 4 years. But it seems like Gen G and McDonald's announced back in January that they were going to do an event of some sorts, focusing on franchise stores in Southern California. And then later on in August, they announced that it's also going to cover stores in Virginia, Maryland, and the Eastern Shore, with over 200 employees taking part in this, like, instead of like a softball league, it's like an esports league, right? They have it to where employees could sign up to play different kinds of games against each other. They had little prizes amongst them. And then now they're going to create an entire esports league with the playoffs being broadcast live on Twitch next January, the 8th and the 9th.
Low-key, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's pretty cool, actually.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And the fact that they're all going to be, like, McDonald's employees.
Yeah.
I think it's really dope.
Yeah, my dad used to play in a lot of softball leagues. And for some reason, that idea of, like, corporate, like, sports leagues translating eventually into esports makes 110% sense. But it's something I never even bothered to think about before. The fact that they're actually going to try and televise it, though, I definitely feel like Nintendo's going to be in on this at some point.
Well, I mean,
like, do we want to take bets on how long it's going to take Nintendo put down the clown?
Well, but the difference is that if there's a company with enough legal power behind it to actually go to Nintendo and be like, it behooves you to let us do this. I think McDonald's is one of them. I mean, also Subway, because there's more Subways than any other restaurant on planet Earth. But I actually think this is a great idea. I don't particularly like McDonald's as a restaurant, but I know the strength of the brand. And I think this is pretty cool. Like, why not? You know what I mean?
I mean, they also have their partnership with FaZe as well. So they even have enough, you know, cash just within the scene.
How crazy of a story would it be if you had a kid works at McDonald's right now, right? Lights out in Smash. I mean, so good. Goes, you know, doesn't have to, is in
we,
school.
We find the next
MK Leo.
Just in the drive-thru
like something. Yeah, just like the next Sam Sora or something randomly at McDonald's.
Speaking of the strength of the brand, obviously the money that they have and the fact that they have ties within the scene already too, like they could go even further and like, you know, reach out to someone like Hungrybox in MK Leo and like also along with that tournament have like an exhibition match or something.
Well, so here's one of the things is that they've been playing Smash, but employees are able to vote on the game in which they'll be competing for throughout this 6-week tournament that they have going on. So we could still even see other games get involved in the fray and not just stick to only Smash.
I bet you some Valorant is going to be up in there.
Something.
Apex is probably going to be up in there. But the thing is that I think this is a great synergist way for McDonald's to further attach itself to the esports world in an organic way, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a very organic way. And also get Smash freaking on stream somehow, which, of course, this will probably get front page on Twitch and all that good stuff.
It's McDonald's, yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just continue to think that if corporations and other big brands want to continue to be involved in esports, you got to meet people where they are. And I think by having sort of a employee-only tournament, because this is saying that, hey, this is what they would be doing anyway, right? This is what they're into. This is what, you know, this generation of our employees is very interested in. And therefore, we want to empower that and let them go ahead and maybe get the potential to get noticed somewhere. And I think it's just cool, because if you have that many eyeballs on something and somebody is good enough to win a tournament against, you know, an entire country of people, then shit, who's to say FaZe wouldn't be like, hey, we were thinking about a Smash team.
I mean,
so
but
why
if
not?
You if you want esports to get bigger, this is the kind of brand that you need to have do it. It has to be the McDonald's, the Coca-Colas, the, you know.
Well, we're going to talk about Coca-Cola a little bit later on in the show. But the last thing I want to say about this, and Robbie, you brought up a very interesting point, is that we all do remember our parents and, you know, maybe our other older family members taking part in those sort of like company softball and basketball games and stuff like that. This is the next extension of that. And I'm surprised that we haven't heard, especially with so many companies still doing remote work, that we haven't heard more companies leaning into esports.
You know what the problem is? Why they haven't been is because while a lot more younger kids are now getting into those professional spaces, the upper echelon is still boomers.
Yeah,
the
that's
people
true.
Who actually make the decisions.
That's true. I mean, listen, if I ran a big multinational corporation and, you know, people were like, hey, we would love to have some sort of company event thing. Dude, why not, man? Mm-hmm. It would cost us almost nothing. You already have all your own equipment and all this type of stuff. We ain't even got to go rent a field or nothing. Like, we straight up can just have this whole thing online, have a blast, man. So I think it's a good idea, and hopefully something big could come out of it. And before we wrap up part one, I just wanted to bring this up, that apparently Pokemon Arceus, which is the next installment of the Pokemon series, everybody very excited about this game because it's supposed to be open world. Well, guess what?
Psych!
Nope.
Not quite.
So, Weirdbeard, if you could kind of walk us through why this is not quite open world and why some Pokemon fans are very perturbed at the Pokemon Company.
Yeah, so apparently Pokemon Company came out and said that players are going to set out from a central hub village before accepting missions and venturing forth into different, quote, open areas of the region.
Oh, so it's Monster Hunter.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And, you know, it seems like a lot of people are just torn, because there's half of the people who seem to only care about, like, I don't care, make a 3D Pokemon game.
Yeah, here's the thing. I actually don't hate that. I actually think that the Monster Hunter system, especially if you also have, like, you know, morning, noon, night type cycles with different Pokemon stuff coming out, I actually think that would be pretty cool. But unfortunately, you've also lied, or at the very least misled the Pokemon fandom, and that's,
yeah.
Come on, we saw what happened with Dexgate.
I mean, because the thing with me is that, you know, I'm not that big of a Pokemon fan, but again, I also understand what these games mean to certain communities. I understand what a open world Pokemon meant to a lot of that player base. And to be perfectly honest with you, from a technology standpoint, there is no reason why they haven't done it yet. And it does just continue to be just obtuse. It just seems weird that they haven't done it until now. So even if the Monster Hunter model, if you will, is really great, Robbie, to your point, that's not how they positioned the promotional
material. I agree. And for some reason, there's a certain like little cadre of Pokemon fans that for some reason just really want their Fallout / Breath of the Wild like mm-hmm. Pokemon, which I personally don't think will necessarily add or detract anything from the game, but look, you told them they were getting an open world, or you let them believe they were getting an open world. I got no sympathy for what's about to befall the Pokemon Company.
Hold on, do you think that they just literally can't make it? Or do you think that this was a choice?
This is a absolute choice.
That's crazy to me.
It's the cut down on production costs. Because when, here's the thing. We've always said that it is very difficult to do a full open world MMO, right? The last time, the last one I played, obviously, is WoW is completely open world, right? Or is it
correct? Yes, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, everything in WoW is open world.
Like they dungeons and stuff are instant.
Everything in 11 was open world, where every zone connects to another zone. No, actually, no, except for cities. Yeah, no. That was instanced. Yeah, that was instanced.
You had to go from like zone, you had to zone to zone.
Yeah, you had to instance. So, you know, the thing for me is that, yes, it is not the easiest thing in the world to do to make a 100% wide open, persistent living world with a day-night cycle and all this other stuff. But you're the fucking Pokemon company. Like, you can make this game.
You know what else also is kind of like scary about this from watching the trailers? If that's not in a completely open world, mm-hmm. it looks fucking barren for being like a design.
And that's my
closed space, and that's right? My
big problem with it is that you can excuse having sort quote unquote dead areas of a open world map because it's open world. You need variety. You need space. You need to actually not put that many elements in one given, you know,
area.
10 by 10 square, because everything is broken up into squares when you develop a map. You know, you can only put so many elements inside of one square before you begin to really, really, really run up the resources, and you can't render it all at the same time. And so I understand the complexity of it, but again, you're the Pokemon company, and the fact that you couldn't even do that and the world is still instanced, it's really weird. It's just bizarre to me. It just kind of doesn't really make sense as to why it's done that way.
Because I guarantee you, Nintendo is just like, listen, this seems to be going too smoothly. What can we do to fuck
I think what they saw was like, dude, Monster Hunter was sweet. Probably. Like, I think they sat back and was like, yo, that Monster Hunter and this expansions and this Switch version all are coming out and they're all doing numbers. People are really liking this. You know what, guys? We probably should just take that model, throw the Pokemon brand on it, and see how people like it. I think we're gonna do well. And
I also think that just will make overall for a better game than what just. But they want open world, so let's just put an open world.
Yeah.
Would be.
So, and Robbie, I appreciate you for at least looking on the bright side about it, because for me, I personally think that there's no reason why they haven't done the open world thing, and they should do the open world thing. But, you know, if you're saying, you know, having this model might actually make the game better, you know, maybe it will. So it remains to be seen. I haven't played it. I'm waiting to see if some people close to me play it and what their opinions are of it. So we'll see. But it is not the way they positioned the branding and the promotional material of the game at all. So anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to be talking about Coca-Cola. We're going to be talking about Lil Nas X. And we're going to be talking about branding and promotional material in esports and how people need to stop doing it so poorly. We got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your number one host here, Norris Howard, joining alongside Weird Beer and Robbie Landis. If you haven't already, make sure you go to the website, checkpointxp.com. Check out the news. Check out the stories. Check out the opinions. Check out all the stuff that we love to talk about when it comes to video games and esports. It's over there on the website, so make sure you come and check out checkpointxp.com. I say check a lot, but
check.
You know, it is what it is. Now, we have a tendency to be, I don't want to say negative, but critical of the esports space sometimes. It is a very young space. It is yet to really get its footing in terms of where it stands in the public consciousness.
It's a teenager.
It's going through the teenage years right now. Literally, it is a teenager. It's the whole space in and of itself is only about 17, 18 years old.
Sometimes it's a bunch of losers, and then they do something cool, and you're like, oh, you know what? They're totally okay again.
Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, right now, This is that era. You know, this is the grunge era of esports. And we're finally now starting to get the polish, get the production, get all this type of stuff. But one thing we have yet to get is really good ads. Really good speaking to everybody ads. And the reason why I want to bring this up is a bad commercial will stick yes. out like a sore thumb and make you hate everything. Not just that this company is trying to sell you, but the community that they are trying to sell to as well. And I bring this up to talk about a Coca-Cola commercial that just did not hit the mark for me. It is an ad that's supposed to be some sort of League of Legends analog, if you will. And the ad displays a major competition. You know, a player goes down. Everybody is screaming their heads off. And
I don't think he was playing World of Warcraft.
What? It just yeah. That's why I say it's a MOBA analog. First of all, you spent copious amounts of money to make up a game when you could have just used a game that already exists. Or you didn't even have to show a game. You could have just showed the yep, reaction 100%. Of the competitors. But the part that really just pissed me off is in the middle of this fictional game, the orc throws down his axe. He goes to his opponent, lifts his opponent's hands. Green grass.
This is after the player in the real world
cracks open
after losing, cracks open a Coca-Cola and takes a drink of it. It somehow revitalizes his player character.
And the world in the game is healed because of the power of friendship
and peace.
And peace and all that stuff. CNN starts with we will not fight.
Yeah, which also not just within the game world, but then the actual real life, the competition, the real world. Literally, I think it actually shows like the Earth in space.
Yeah,
and world peace is achieved.
Can I just read some YouTube comments?
Oh, yes.
From this.
Yes.
Drinking a bottle of Coke gives your character suffering PTSD flashbacks and the power to brutally massacre your enemies with kindness, and. Just imagine if they made a similar commercial about football where the players would just stop playing. That's basically the same thing.
And I am so happy that person said that because it completely kneecaps the point of esports. It's a competition.
No, it's peace.
You would never, ever. The only time you would see an ad like that is if like somebody like, oh, fell over, and they have no chance of winning, and then here's the power of sportsmanship, and we'll
right.
do it.
Exactly. There is one small change they could have made that would have made this whole thing, it still would have been ridiculous, but would have made this whole thing actually work.
Be okay.
Is that guy should have lost, right? And when they go to shake or whatever, he, like, is all pissed off, storms off in the other direction, like, you know, backstage or whatever, mm-hmm. grabs a Coke, and then realizes, you know what, I'm being toxic.
Yeah.
And then walk back out there and like shake his hand that dude a Coke, and then you can have world peace.
And then world peace. Because you wouldn't. You would not see a football commercial of a linebacker just clobbering the shit out of a quarterback, picking him up, and then sharing a Coca-Cola, and then world peace is achieved. It's just dumb. And I think
I think you were the one who had mentioned this. This is like Coke saw that, was it Kylie Jenner?
Yes, the Kylie Jenner
Pepsi
yeah.
commercial.
It was Kendall. Kendall Jenner.
Either way, they saw that Pepsi commercial, and some Coke guy goes, we can do better than
That's
that.
That's it.
I want that, but times a million.
It's just so dumb. And like, it shows to me just a fundamental kind of misunderstanding about what esports is and about. And again, it just reeks of ads by committee. It just reeks of a bunch of old white dudes sitting in a room going like, oh, yep, that's what esports is.
This comment is perfect for it. Hello, Zoomers. Have you heard of the delicious soft beverage known as Coca-Cola? It can really give you a level up in Nintendo. Like, that's exactly what it is. Like,
level up your Nintendo today.
God.
And that's what it is. And then I feel like you juxtapose this with the 100 Thieves Lil Nas X promotional video that they put out. Which, by the way, again, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it just feels like that's more on brand. They didn't try to make Lil Nas X an esports star.
Yes.
They didn't try to, you know, all of a sudden create this fictional paradigm. No, they said, Lil Nas X, come to the Cash App Studios that we've built for millions and millions of dollars. You know, dance around, do your little music video stuff. We yes. will have our players and our personalities looking cool, and that's it.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, that's all that fucking matters. Like
it's so hard to watch every corporate esports or video game commercial, and they do the gratuitous shot of the headphones or the mouse and the keyboard and your
gaming.
Fingers on it. Yeah, like that's what the Coke commercial feels like. Lil Nas X feels like, yo, let's do some dope shit. What would be some cool shit to do?
Or even there's a Verizon ad that says don't live with lag.
Yes.
And basically it is just the entire world as if it was Cyberpunk 2077, where like there's clipping issues and trees are falling over and then snapping back and falling over again, and people are not
cat stuck in a pole.
Yeah, the collision detection is all fucked up, and it's just like, no, this is an ad that has a fundamental understanding. They didn't say anything this ad was about. They didn't use any words. They didn't put any text on the screen. They didn't make up some weird ass League of Legends knockoff.
Yeah, why can't they? They didn't even pay for a real video game to be featured in this.
And you're partnered with several esports leagues. Why?
Yeah, I just don't get it. But you know, I wanted to bring this up, and Rick, as a fan of hip hop, I wanted to ask you this question because, as I said with Honey Thieves, it's all about the rule of cool, right? It's all about getting people to feel like esports is the fly thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. How long do you think we will be before we start seeing rap artists rocking esports gear, like, in their music videos?
Soon.
Has it not happened yet?
Hasn't happened yet.
Really?
Not in mass. Not for, like, major artists.
Okay.
If Migos was still on and popping, it would be sooner.
Yeah. Well, because Offset's but see, that's the thing. He's ownership. That's a tangential connection. I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about Tupac wearing Red Wing jersey. I'm talking about, you know, stuff like that.
It has to be as pervasive as what wearing actual sports jerseys, which I feel like is most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it will get there. I don't know how soon. I know that, like,
do you think that it's going to be current artists, or do we need the next generation of artists coming up?
I think it might be the next generation because they also grew up with it, so they'll have affinity with these brands.
They already have, like, you know, 50 different jerseys in their wardrobe.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, if you're, you know, NWA, so you were wearing the Oakland Raiders caps and stuff, you know, because you grew up with the Oakland Raiders having that bad boy image, you know what I'm saying? So the association of the Raiders cap with NWA and, you know what I'm saying, we gangsta as hell and this, that, and the third, it all created this synergy that made people more tied to that brand.
Yes.
And both brands, really. And I'm waiting for that to happen with esports. And, you know, I think seeing Lil Nas X wearing 100 Thieves gear, it's just fucking cool.
It is cool. Especially because he's like, as an artist, like, you could get a C-level, B-level, you know what I mean, artist to wear something like this. You'd be like, oh, that's cool.
Like, they're right now, in terms of popularity, they're many artists bigger.
Right? How important do you think? Because again, if it's the next generation coming up too, I think that esports, or at least the merch, also has to get to a place where it's not just, oh, you have to order it online. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be able to run down to, like, you know, like run into like a Walmart or something and be able to take like 100 Thieves, you know, piece of merch like off a, you know, a hanger or something. Like, I think it needs to be a little bit more easily accessible as well.
No, I agree with that. I think the thing for me that I get very concerned with in terms of, you know, esports merch and, you know, creating that sort of paradigm where it all can be more popular is you just got to be able to walk around the corner and get it, man.
What are the brands? Like, who? If you had to pick
100 Thieves, C9, and FaZe. 100 Thieves, C9, TL, and FaZe.
Those are the four.
Those are the big four. Those are your LA Dodgers, New York Yankees, you know, I'm trying to think of any other sports teams that sort of transcend all sports. Yeah, those are kind of the biggest ones. You know, the Yankees, the Lakers. That's another one. The Lakers. The Yankees, the Lakers, you know, teams like that. I think those are the four in America that could pop off and move to the next echelon. I think 100 Thieves is the only one that truly understands it.
Yes, I would say, like, they understand it on the bigger level. Yeah. See, you know what I mean?
FaZe has the power, but I don't think that they quite understand that this isn't just about being popular. You have to know how to position that popularity and power.
It's like the difference between being an ad agency and somebody who makes ads. Like, yeah. An ad agency controls everything from top to bottom.
They know the science of it. And I think 100 Thieves is getting into the science of it, the partnerships, the promotional material, the design of the logos and the gear in and of itself. You know, I just think, and to be perfectly honest with you, having not lame people run your brand, there's a feeling that fucking nerds still run a lot of these, you know, companies. And you know, in the case of FaZe, you just have such a poor reputation, unfortunately.
The other thing that I think is making this sooner and sooner to happen is all the partnerships with, like, Balenciagas and the, you know what I mean, the high-end fashion brands. The more that those happen, the easier it will be to get a rapper to wear something.
I lost my mind when I started seeing rappers wear soccer jerseys. Yeah. And I was just like, this shit is here. It's blown up. And now I think that's the next step, is seeing them wear esports jerseys. But yeah, I think it'll probably be one of those brands. Now watch me be wrong, and I see some random ass
could be Xset.
We see Tyler the Creator pop out with a Royal Never Give Up jersey, and I'm just like, what what happened? But anyway, that's gonna be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be back tomorrow, as usual, with even more updates. Obviously, as long as people are playing, we'll give a world's update and everything that's going on. By the way, C9 did just lose to Fun Plus Phoenix in a base race. It was pretty even all the way throughout, so I'm actually pretty proud of Cloud9. They play FPX all the way to the end, but just got outplayed in there. For Robbie Landis and Weird Beard, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we will be back tomorrow. Take it easy, y'all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.